Lecture 11, Reformation in Wittenberg.
When we last left Martin Luther, he was stuck in a castle in Germany all by himself, in a place called the Wartburg, overlooking Eisenach. And that's when the Lutheran Reformation starts in Wittenberg, back in his hometown where he would like to be, but he's not. So the Lutheran Reformation starts without Luther. The practical work of changing the life of the church, its sacramental life, its worship life, happens when Luther is off in hiding in this castle called the Wartburg. Luther is kept apprised of events by letters from his friends, especially his friend Philip Melanchthon, his best friend, the second most important theologian of the Lutheran Reformation, a brilliant young man of 24. Luther thinks he's a much better writer, much more concise, much more precise in his thinking, all of which is actually true. Thinks that Philip Melanchthon's book of systematic theology called The Commonplaces is the best book of theology after the Bible. He really admires Philip Melanchthon. But Philip Melanchthon is not a leader of the people. He's a brilliant young scholar, but he's not a leader of the people. There's another guy on the scene, another university professor from Wittenberg. Melanchthon is the professor of Greek there. The senior theology professor at Wittenberg is a man named Andreas Bodenstein von Karlstadt. Karlstadt is the name to remember. It's actually German for Charlestown. Karlstadt is a senior professor. He actually conferred the doctorate upon Luther back in 1512 in Wittenberg. And he feels like he's ready to take charge. He wants to be a leader of the people. He's a bit impatient, and most scholars regard him as a bit unstable. He was all over the map theologically. But we'll get back to him. He becomes a very important figure in what goes wrong in the Reformation in Luther's view. So here we are in Wittenberg. We've got these two professors who aren't quite what's really needed, but they're there, and Luther isn't. And they start making key changes in the life of the church at Wittenberg. First of all is changes in public worship. And the very first thing is they get rid of all language about the sacrifice of the Mass, because Luther and the other Lutherans regard this as an abomination. Right? This is good works in place of God's word. Get rid of it. The Mass is not our work. It's God's word. It's not a sacrifice. We don't offer anything to God in the Mass. God offers us himself. We don't give. God gives, etc., etc. Get rid of it. It's awful. That's the first thing to go. The next thing that happens is that the words of institution in the Mass are spoken in German. Right? The Mass is, of course, all in Latin up to this point. The first thing that gets translated into German is the words, "This is my body, given for you," so that the people of Wittenberg can hear God speak in their own language, speaking his promise, his word, his gospel for the first time. So that it's no longer sort of this magical ceremony done in this magical language that no one understands that does this magical thing. It's God speaking in German. That becomes a theme of the Reformation, because, of course, soon the whole Mass will be translated into German, and then the whole Bible. Luther is at work at that in the Wartburg. So God's word is going to get into German. God's going to speak German to these people. And then another change is that the cup, as well as the bread, is given to the laity. You get communion in both kinds, as it's called. So it's not just bread, but the wine. The ordinary people get to do both, bread and wine. Associated with this, the ordinary people, the laity, get to touch the bread with their hands, which most of them, in fact, are afraid to do. One person was so scared of touching the Eucharistic bread with his hands, he dropped it on the floor, and then he was really terrified. What's freedom to some people seems like lawlessness or sacrilege to others, and that's a serious problem. This is the problem of what Luther calls weak consciences, and he means good people from born under the Pope, who are used to the way things are in the papal church, who are terrified of these changes. They're not sure what's going on. Right? I'm supposed to touch this? Touch God? I'm supposed to take both kinds? But that's sacrilege, isn't it? I'm not supposed to take the cup. I'm not allowed to. Who says I'm allowed to? Well, Luther says God says you're allowed to, but it takes a while to convince people of that. Or imagine you're one of these, old-fashioned Catholics who are saying things like, what? I mean, I can't pay for a Mass for my dead father? Right? But it's in his will. I promised. It's my duty as his son. Am I required to drink from the cup? Touch the bread with my hands? Am I really allowed? Is that safe? Right? That's how someone with a weak conscience talks. And Luther thinks you've got to be kind to these people. Be gentle with them. Take it slowly. And you don't force them to do stuff that they're not ready to do. You just preach to them and you tell them, and when they're persuaded, then they're okay.